This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The final hour of the Rob Brown Show on a Thursday a.m. starts right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Lonzo with you. And every Thursday a.m. at 9 a.m., we head up to the lovely city of Washington, D.C. The District of Columbia is where we find our next guest. He is the former executive producer of Bet for the Cycle, which airs on the BetQL Network every Saturday from noon to 4 with former Major League Baseball player Cody Decker and myself. He is the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear right here on this and find Odyssey stations worldwide from 7 till 11 p.m. every single weeknight. And he is an NFL and NBA betting analyst for the BetQL Network, Ben Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hatin' Ass Mario. Joins us here on the show. What's up, big dog?
Benjamin.
Sorry.
My good man.
But Benjamin.
Wow, you just used... What are you doing?
It's because I was looking at his email and his Twitter handle, which is... His Twitter handle is that. So that's my bad. I hope I didn't just blow your Bruce Wayne cover.
No, I mean, I don't care. I always felt smart growing up, by the way. That was a good sneaky thing, having a longer first name, as I always knew how to spell Benjamin. So I'd be like, you know how to spell Benjamin? And they go, no? I'm like, yeah, but I do. That's how you get the good grades.
By spelling your own name correctly.
Yeah. Would you one step ahead.
Would you put an I in there or an A? I'm talking to Rob. I mean,
yeah.
Benjamin is not an easy name to spell. You would think it would be.
Is that why you guys spell out O-H-I-O all the time to prove to everybody how smart you are?
No, it's so Michigan people can understand who they're playing.
Hey, Naz Mario joining us here on the show to talk a little NFL. We may sprinkle in some NBA at the end. We'll see if we have the time. Let's start with this, Mario. I, after this weekend, have been waiting for this moment because it feels only appropriate for me to say this to you, the host of Odyssey's Los Angeles Chargers podcast within our NFL podcast network. I feel like I owe Jim Harbaugh some flowers. I feel like I owe Jim Harbaugh an apology because I said, for the record, I did say I think he can be successful in Los Angeles. I just thought it was going to take a couple of years, kind of find the rhythm in the routine, get back to having the NFL mentality, not the college mentality, to get the guys, the grown men, vets on this team to buy into what is, let's be real, kind of a hokey, goofy guy. But the Chargers got a huge win this weekend. They got seven of them stacked up. They are absolutely a front runner in the AFC for a playoff spot. Could theoretically still win that division if they bust some folks up and get some help down the stretch. Talk to me about Jim Harbaugh and the job he's doing with your Chargers this year.
He's doing an amazing job. And it's actually the thing I give him the most credit for is bringing Jesse Minter along and changing that defense, right? Because this Chargers defense under Brandon Staley, who was supposed to be this defensive genius, was just absolutely terrible. Couldn't stop the run. Couldn't stop the pass. I mean, anything you could get on this defense, you're going to get. And you look at this defense now, and I understand their schedule. Their schedule coming into this year was extremely friendly to them, right? Like I always said on our show and other shows, I would say, is this a playoff team by roster? No, it is a playoff team based on schedule. Their schedule was extremely, extremely nice for them throughout the season. But that being said, this defense, first in opponent points per game, second best in third down defense, ninth in opponent yards per play. And the most important thing, and the thing that's kind of helped them the last couple of weeks, is they're the second best red zone defense. And they barely, Chicago barely has them. It's about like 0.3% that Chicago has over them. So you can even argue that they're tied for first in that category. The defensive turnaround on that has been amazing. And that's why I credit with Harbaugh a lot. And the other thing too, on top of that, is like, this is by far the least talented Charger team we've seen in what, the past 3-4 years? I mean, this receiving core going into this season was ranked second to worst in the NFL, right? And then you see the development of Ladd throughout the year. I'm like, all right, Ladd McConkey's like going to be kind of like the guy. You see Quentin Johnson kind of take steps and get better. You see a tight end group that's mostly blocking tight ends start becoming more a passing threat and somehow being weapons on screenplays that I never thought there'd be weapons on. I give a lot of credit to Harbaugh. I think the other thing, too, with him is I give credit on the drafting that him and Joe did. Cam Hart has turned out to be an exceptional player that they got in the fifth round. I mentioned Ladd already has been very good for him. Joe Alt has been everything they wanted and more. Even when people wanted, you know, Neighbors to be taken at that spot instead of Alt, they decided to go build within the trenches. Harbaugh deserves his flowers. He's done an amazing job. And I'm excited to see where they go from here, right? Because this year is just a building block. This year's, you know, the expectations were low. What are you going to do next year when everyone in the league knows you're coming? Everyone in the league knows that you're building something there. What do you do then?
I like it. I like it. Again, I just thought, especially with – I didn't, for the record, I like the pick of Joe Alt. Like, I think that dude's just blue-collar, lunch-pail offensive lineman. That's the kind of dude you build a line around to be able to make the run game work. But I think, and I don't – if you mentioned him, I'm sorry I missed out. But, like, even the resurgence of J.K. Dobbins, when Harbaugh came into this year and said, hey, look – we're going to be a team that runs the football. Like, we know we got Justin Herbert. And I've been on the Justin Herbert fan wagon since he showed up in the league. I think that dude has the arm talent to be Joe Burrow. I just think he was stacked under maybe the worst coaching regime, maybe in the NFL, not named Urban Meyer, in the last regime. But when Harbaugh came in and said, look, I believe in Justin Herbert. I think this dude can be a Pro Bowler, can be an all-timer, but we've got to be able to run the football. I was like, all right, dog. But, like, he's turned J.K. Dobbins into a dude, and now all of a sudden, a team that was winning early by letting J.K. go get 120 yards and 2 touchdowns, now all of a sudden you're seeing 40 passes to 22 runs, and it still feels balanced and is working. Like I said, I spot on. I think I owe Jim Harbaugh an apology because – that dude was ready to go full afterburner right out of the gate.
And to your point, too, like after the Chiefs game, you know, we were like screaming about, we're like, hey, we're committing to the run a little too much, right? Like it was just too many moments, like you got to let Herbert go. And I know like earlier in the season, there's worries about his health. How healthy is he going to be? Is he going to be able to make it through the whole season? And that was a worry. But then they kind of come out of bye, and then you're like, oh, so we're slinging the football now. You know, like his first game back at halftime, he had more attempts than he's ever, you know, had throughout the whole season. And he throws for 234. And then you're like, all right, maybe this offense is changing. Maybe like this team's changing. And then, you know, they lost the game, but then against the Cardinals, he throws for 349. And you're like, all right, you see like there was adjustments made, which is something that the Charger fan base. And, you know, if you're a Charger fan or just been studying the Chargers, they did not do last year, right? That was the issue, is Staley would refuse to kind of make any adjustment. Harbaugh makes the adjustment. They open up the playbook a little bit more. And I think the adjustment, too, you've seen in the past couple of weeks and something you can make money off of, too, Herbert running. It's my favorite line in all of sports is the, you know, people forget Herbert's a good athlete. You know, he's quick. And it's like, really? The guy that's played in the NFL that's considered one of the top five quarterbacks is a good athlete? Who would have thought? I would have never known that. Thanks, guys.
All right, let's get a couple of other topics in here as we roll on with Mario Heron from the BetQL Network. We have heard a chorus of folks that have bought into the belief that the Detroit Lions are the best team in the NFL, and I am one of them. I am all in. You've got a two-back tandem of Gibbs and Montgomery that are you know, we've talked about the thunder and lightning concept, and those two guys are it. Jared Goff's out there spinning the bean like he's 24 years old all over again, multiple fights. I mean, he had the one game against Houston that was atrocious. A game they still won, by the way, when he tossed five picks. He comes out the next week, goes for another 400-yard, four-touchdown game. But the thing that nobody's talking about, because welcome to America, we all tune in onto the offensive side of the ball, this defense is Dan Campbell. It's gross. It's nasty. It's gritty. It's tough. It's physical. I don't know about you, dude. I just have fun watching this team at this point.
they're fun and they don't give up. Like you mentioned the Texans game, and I think that was the game where I was like, all right, I think this team's more legit, more of a championship contender than we even like thought they were, right? You know, keep in mind in this game, they didn't have Za'Darius Smith yet. He didn't play in that game. You know, obviously they lost Aiden Hutchinson, so like they're a wounded team, and they did everything they could to lose that game. Like the Goff's a five picks, you know, at halftime you're sitting there going, you're down 23-7. You're in a away game. This is going to be tough to even come back from. Like, this game's probably over. A lot of people probably went to bed. I think I even took, like, a, you know, half of a bed nap and then woke up in the fourth quarter going, all right, maybe I should, like, lock into this game a little more and see what happens. That's a sign of a Super Bowl winning team. They can lean on anyone to win games. I think that's the scary thing, right? Like, Goff, I have Goff in fantasy. It's kind of frustrating because there'll be weeks where he throws for, like, 150 yards. You're like, and they still won. It's because, yeah, Gibbs and Montgomery, you know, went off for 100 yards each. And then defensively, that was like a weakness for them last year, was can the defense hold up? And then you probably even more worried. It's like, oh, my God, their best defensive player's out. Well, that doesn't matter because they're still fifth in points allowed. And if you look at the NFC too, like, Rob, I don't see anyone in the NFC that I'm like, oh, shoot, man, they got to watch out. You know, Commanders are still young and still like a year away from being like a legit team, I think. Eagles just have a dumb at head coach and you never know what he's going to do and he's too unpredictable. And I think that team's too good at losing games at the last second in the playoffs. The NFC South we'll get to in a minute, but that team's just that's just no one wants to win. And then the NFC North, they've proven every time that they can handle any team in the NFC North. It's clear cut for me. We did a draft last night of bets, and I drafted Lions Super Bowl because I was just like, it's, you know, that number's only going to get lower and lower throughout the week.
I don't disagree with that at all. Let's you mentioned it there very briefly there, and we'll get to it. That is the NFC South. By the way, the Denver Broncos, NFC South killers. They beat every team in that division, and I want to get to Bo Nix if we have time in a minute, but this division's interesting because on one hand, you had the Falcons who were flying high. They dropped one of the Saints. They turn around and get kicked in the groin by Denver the next week. In that same 2 weeks, New Orleans, team that beat Atlanta, team that was on top of the division, they turn around and they blow Cleveland out last week because Coach Riz got Riz down there in New Orleans. Look out, NFL. The Saints are back, baby, back to where they belong. Third place in that division and looking up. But, hey, it's good vibes only up in here, Mario. Who wins this damn division? Because I don't even know if I care anymore.
Yeah, it's tough. The Falcons kind of had it sealed because they beat Bucks twice, and you're like, all right, you kind of just, if as long as you stay the course, you got it, right? And then they go, no, we want to fart around. You know, like we want to mess around a little bit. And then they drop terrible game to the Broncos. I mean, and we'll talk about Bo Nix, but just got ran out of the stadium. And then they lose the surprising one to the Saints with the new head coach. And then I was looking at their schedule. I'm like, okay, you're 6-5. And yes, you have two wins over the Bucs, but don't feel safe because to finish out the season, they still face the Chargers, Vikings, and Commanders. You're going to face the Chargers after a Ravens game, win or lose. Let's say they lose that game. Then like this game, that game's even more of a bigger win that they need because they face the Chiefs right after that. Then you also face the Vikings. Vikings need the wild card spot. They're going to be gunning for it and also are a very talented offense. And they also face the Commanders, who are a very exciting team with a lot of momentum. That could easily be three losses. So that puts you at eight losses on the year. And then if you look at the Bucs schedule, you go, okay, Giants, Panthers, Raiders. All those teams want the first round pick, so we can go ahead and poop on them and move on. At Chargers could be a tough game. Let's just say they lose that game for that sake. Then you have the Cowboys disaster again, Panthers disaster, and then a Saints game that's always hard because it's the Saints, and then probably going to be a fight between Mike Evans and some Saints player.
Nah, Marshawn Lattimore is not there anymore, bud. We've lost our Rocky. We'll see. We will see.
But there could be something else though. But I like the Bucs in that division still. I think they can win it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna push on that. I do think, I mean, it's Baker Mayfield. Like, that's your X factor. Do you get the Baker that's out there getting in a fight with TJ Watt to complete a fourth down pass? Or, you know, is he figured out by the end of the year? All right, speaking of Bo Nix, that's another cat that I came into the year with no belief, no faith, no hope in. He goes for his first 300-yard game, three touchdowns against Atlanta. is that Sean Payton bringing out the best in Bo Nix, or was that an Atlanta defense that we all knew coming into this year was going to leave a little bit to be desired, or some combination of both?
I think some combination of both, but I give more credit to Payton because I feel like every time I watch Bo Nix, he's improved somehow. And yeah, there's one-off games that look tough, right? Like, obviously, like the Ravens game was a pretty brutal game for him, and that Ravens secondary is, you know, nothing to run home about, but still a Ravens defense that can do some damage to you. But look, man, this guy's been playing great. Like, I was way off on him. I thought Bo Nix was a QB that got helped because he was in the college football for 18,000 years. And then when you're in there for that long, you've seen every defense possible. It's hard to like be surprised about what someone's going to throw at you. Counter to that is with him being, you know, a 24-year-old rookie and all the experience he has, is he's mentally stronger, right? Mentally and physically stronger than a lot of the other guys coming into the league. And I think you see that in him, right? Like his ability to bounce back. I remember watching in the Charger game that first half, I was like, dude, this guy's not it, man. Like this defense is getting all over him. They're making it, you know, he's feeling the pressure. He's overthrowing guys. He's underthrowing guys. In that second half, I remember writing in my notes, Bo Nix can come back and win this game. Like he was just making smart decisions with the football. He was just giving what the defense was taking what the defense was giving him, going like just running the football if he needed to. He's a very well-established, smart quarterback. And with Sean Payton, that's like all he needs, man. So credit to Sean Payton, even though I don't like him. And I, you know, think he's disgusting.
Hating ass Mario Heron here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. 30-second answer. Are the Cleveland Cavaliers for real? 16-1 to start the year?
I do think they're for real because I think their coach is very, very good. And I think the Celtics game was a classic spot of the in-season tournament just means more. And the Celtics really want, Missoula really wants to be the first team to give them the first loss.
You an in-season tournament guy? Because I love it. I love it.
I do like it, but I could do without the courts.
I love the courts. Give me something different. Give me something. I want courts. I think there should be in-season cup tournament jerseys, like separate for that, right? Like
I want jerseys. I want every team has to do the retro jersey for the in-cup tournament. That was my
retro new age, like City Connect style. Like I think they should stand out. Still count them in the regular season, Schetti, but I love the tournament. I have a blast. Lonzo hates it. He despises it. He thinks it's dumb.
All right. You want to have a tournament? Make it an actual tournament. Don't go, okay, this game is going to be in it, and then 2 weeks from now, that game's going to be, and this one's going to be in it. Yeah, okay, that's how we're going to do this.
Yeah. They do that literally everywhere but here.
I think that it should be, if you win it, it's an automatic playoff bid. That's what I think it should be.
I'm good with that. Yeah. Like, and if no,
that would definitely make it worth it.
I think you need a playoff bid.
That's what I think they should do.
Yeah, I think there's a prize. I think you go like $1 million to every player on the active roster of the winning team and an auto playoff bid, and I think you're in there. I think that's great.
They chose the Lakers to win it last year. They're choosing Golden State to win it this year.
Golden State doesn't win it. You have to celebrate with us next year.
No, I don't.
Mario Heron for the BetQL Network, executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear tonight and every weekday night from 7 until 11 p.m. on fine Odyssey stations everywhere. Joins us every Thursday at 9 a.m. to talk about whatever we talk about. Big Dog, appreciate you. Good. Thanks for coming by, man.
Thanks for having me. And by the way, the WWE argument that I missed when I got in, we need to revisit that soon. I have some thoughts on
you got
that.
Four? Who's your one? You get to go one out of the gate. Who's your one wrestler you're bringing to get out of a bar fight? I'll give you one. We'll come up with the other three later. It's got to be Brock Lesnar. It's got to be. Everybody says Brock. It's got to be Brock.
Everyone says that, but he's the reason why you're in the fight.
I mean, it might be true.
He's the one who started the fight.
It might be true, but I'd still
and this might Brock. Be a hot take after that. Ronda Rousey's my two.
That's not a hot take. That's not a hot take, because here's the thing. Like, Ronda in her prime, I told Lonzo earlier, I don't want grapplers. I don't want wrestlers. I want strike and move, strike and move. You got to hit, you got to get. You got to hit, you got to get. Rousey was a striker when she was in her prime in the UFC.
Okay, counter to that, though, I kind of want a little bit of a grappler, because if you see someone do a shoot and they're, like, you know, on top of them, everyone's going, I'm all set. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, you can maybe get lucky with the crosser, but like, if you go to the down to the ground, Bubba, it's over.
That's fair. That's fair. Mario Heron jumping in. We're gonna revisit this at some point. Appreciate it, big dog. We'll talk to you next week, my man.
Always appreciate it. Love you both.
You got it, my guy. Hating ass Mario Heron from the BetQL Network.
Dan Fry. I mean, the guy who we
interviewed. Dan Severin's got to be in there.
Yeah. Dan, right? Severin, who headbutted a guy, what did he say, 50 times?
In one fight.
Yeah, that's the guy you want.
Yeah,
that's the guy, and said he took an aspirin and went
Ken
home.
Ken Shamrock.
There you go, those guys.
Shamrock's terrifying.
Guys who wrestled and then went to the UFC or were in the UFC and went to the...
Headbutting. I don't want the guy that's headbutting, guys. That guy's going to be out in 2 seconds.
Oh, no, not this guy.
This dude headbutted.
Not this guy.
Headbutted one Russian guy 50 times in one fight and won the fight.
Yeah.
This dude's a different breed of cat.
He took an aspirin. The Russian guy had cranial swelling and had to go to the hospital.
Y'all come join the stream, facebook.com/thefanupstate, thefanupstate on YouTube, and we may carry this through the break. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, welcome to the Fight Club, which has been, I mean, we've been doing it for like the last half hour during breaks on the stream. You should check it out. Talking about our four wrestlers we would have get us out of a bar where 50 people wanted to destroy us, I suppose. And then, by the way, what's the size, in this scenario, how big of a place are you in that there are 50 guys in there?
Oh, I'm lots of places. Okay. I don't, 50 people can fit into an average-sized dive bar.
Yeah, but do they normally?
I mean, no, but again, I know that you despise hypotheticals, but it's a hypothetical.
No. I'm trying to add realism to the scenario. That's
I know.
All.
That's not how hypotheticals work.
I mean, it could be like if you're at a bar, festival or something.
You're in a bar. There's 50 dudes, and they don't want you to leave. Who are the four you're taking? All right, and the answer is Brock Lesnar and who else?
All right, the bars that you frequent, are there normally 50 dudes in there? That's all I'm saying. I mean, I don't have the experience, so I'm counting on you to tell me
if that's real or not. No, but again, we're not talking about a real bar where real 50 people really are. You're in a bar, there's 50 people, and they all hate you. Who do you want?
I watched Roadhouse, and there weren't 50 people in there. Either version.
First off, there are absolutely scenes in Barhouse or in Roadhouse where there are 50 dudes, but there's only like five that are trying to keep Swayze down and murder Sam Elliott,
which is a mistake.
You know, you don't murder Sam Elliott
either way. I still am going to go with my final is APA and the Road Warriors.
APA is not a bad pick. Road Warriors not a bad pick. I'm still going. I'm probably going Lesnar, Ken Shamrock. Because that dude, I feel like just those two, I'm probably fine. I'm going Lesnar, Ken Shamrock, Dan Severn's got to be one. That man will just headbutt the
door. I know, just
open.
After thinking of that. Yeah. He even now.
Who's the next even best?
Now, I mean, we interviewed him, was it last year, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Even now, if you were with him right now, he still would be
He's
the
terrifying.
Guy. Yeah.
Severn, Shamrock, Lesnar. Who's the next best MMA turned professional wrestler?
Tank Abbott wrestled for a while. Maybe you throw some Tank Abbott in there.
It's not a bad pick.
And Tank Abbott was psycho looking too, so that helped. You picture.
I feel like I do want one 7-foot intimidator though. I feel like I want one.
Or like Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
That's not a bad one.
Who's got that crazy in his eyes, and you're like, nah, man, I don't.
Arn Anderson just pulls out the Glock and everybody leaves.
There you go. Or Juice Robinson. Just someone who's got that psycho look to him that people just don't want to mess with.
Darby's not a bad pick.
See, he doesn't look.
Darby's the dude you're afraid of, not because of his size, but just because, like, you break that guy's arm and he just comes for more.
That's true. All right. This is, by the way, there's a pay-per-view and a PLE if we get to them. More interested in the pay-per-view because the pay-per-view for AEW is this weekend, and neither one of us have paid attention to AEW the way we need to, which means there's a better shot that Rob could lose and end up being on the Nerf wall for Christmas.
Because
this will be for Christmas.
I accept the fate.
And someone is always on the wall at the Upstate Pulse annual Christmas karaoke special. Someone is always on the wall.
I accept the fight.
Okay, so let us go with the first one. Big Boom AJ versus QT Marshall.
I want you to know.
Oh, this is great, because unless you know who
You know who this cat is?
Yeah, I saw something about something to do with Costco.
I don't get mad at influencers for, like, finding their niche and filling it and becoming rich and famous. I genuinely dislike this man. Like, I dislike him because of his influencer character. This dude and his kid and somebody else's kid got famous for just eating at Costco and making videos of it. They're obnoxious. They're not funny. They're not entertaining. They're not amusing. But apparently, this cat used to actually be a wrestler on the indie circuit and just never got a shot. He goes on to do this thing, and he's freaking jacked. I dislike this man as a person. He's going to beat QT Marshall because you don't have this guy come in and lose this fight. I want you to know, and I mean this, this guy showing up in AEW has kind of got me out on AEW. And I love AEW. I have been the biggest AEW advocate maybe in professional radio anywhere. I am a big fan. But this dude showing up, combined with some of the other shticks they've got going on, I'm kind of ice cold on AEW right now.
Okay, I'm going to also go with Big Boom, and I'm also ice cold with AEW.
Which sucks.
Yeah, it does. Especially for you, because you and Joe and some other people diehard AEW guys.
Because it was finally a wrestling company that's like, hey, not everything has to be for kids. Like, we can have some adult themes in a thing that is supposed to simulate a fighting league. That's what it is, right? And they finally said, we can do some blood, we can do some sex and gratuitous violence, we can do bad words. Like, finally, it felt like a place for adult entertainment in this fictional world. And now they're like, what if we bring in a social media influencer whose favorite thing is to flex and go, boom!
By the way, they did buy a Guns N' Roses song for last night, so there's that.
I mean, again, like, when they were, like, buying rights
sarcastic.
Oh, I know. But when they were like
that
buying
was for
the
listeners,
rights,
I know you know
for sure. When they were buying the rights to songs so that Jungle Boy could have his classic song and Orange Cassidy and all these wrestlers could have their indie walkout song, so it felt like they cared. That was awesome. I saw this and I'm like, and I got to sit through some dumbass social media influencer who eats chocolate chip cookies as his whole shtick that hasn't wrestled in 20 years, and that's what you're putting to get me hype about this card? Come on, man.
It's like WCW with Jay Leno or the Mailman.
For the record, James, no. There were videos on social from the seats of Dynamite last night where he got booed out of the gym. That's the only thing that gives me a glimmer of hope is that the AEW fans were like, screw this guy.
All right, the next match is MJF versus Roderick Strong. I mean, MJF used to be in the title belt picture, and now he's going up against Roderick Strong. And MJF, I don't know that he's getting stale. I think he looks bored.
He is bored.
He signed his contract, he got his money, and now he's just not.
Well,
I mean, it's like that player in the NFL who, or in the NBA who gets the big money and seems to slump afterwards. That's what it feels like here. By the way, MJF wins this.
MJF absolutely wins this. This is complete and total speculation for me, but I think he's probably disappointed because he was building this like relatively complex character that was still the heel, but he was the heel in a way that we loved him as a face. And then Adam Cole Bebe comes back and they're like, Yeah, Adam Cole's just a face in MJF's the heel. I asked you that question weeks ago. Yeah, I'm like, why? Yeah, Adam Cole's back. Why is he the face and why is MJF the heel when Cole turned his back on MJF? And nobody has an answer. And they've tried to retcon that, but it's failed miserably.
Yeah, I think it's because writing. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
So they took MJF, who was actually building this interesting, complicated character, and they're like, no, you're just the dirty heel again. And it's like, he's the best bleep talker in the game, but it feels wasted. And as much, MJF's the one guy of AEW that I'm like, I'll never not tune in for this guy. And I haven't been following what's happening MJF for months now.
All right, next match, which is one of a couple that would be really, really good, I think. Jay White versus Hangman Adam Page.
This fight will slap. This fight will slap. I am going to go with the Hangman here, just based on, again, Lonzo, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm picking these fights on social media clips at this point, right? Like, just following via social media clips. But I don't think you can have Hangman lose in this spot and still be a thing. Unless it's a dirty pool ending, I think Hangman wins.
See, I disagree. I think they're building Jay White the way they need to. And I'm going to go with Jay White and the Bang Bang Gang.
Okay. I'm not going to fight back on that one.
All right. Tag teams, Pretty Party, totally different tag team. Private Party versus the Outrunners versus House of Black versus the Acclaim for the Tag Team Championship.
When I saw the Outrunners for the first time, you will talk about the one reason I would go back to AEW? The Outrunners. They're incredible. I have so much fun watching their stupid little 80s on VHS promos, just classic 80s wrestlers that dropped into today's world. I'm a big fan. Private Party wins this match. Okay. I don't want them to. Okay. Respectfully to Private Party, they feel like a less interesting version of a different tag team for a reason. But I think they hang on for right now.
All right, I'm going to go with the Outrunners because I think they pushed them a bunch, and maybe Tony listens to the fans in this case.
I very much hope that you are right.
Yeah. All right. The next match, Mercedes Moné versus friend of the show, Chris Statlander.
I don't want it to. It should be Statlander, but it's going to be Mercedes Moné. They've got Stat getting her too many times right now. They did not sign Mercedes Moné to show up and not be a champ. I'm going to be honest with you. She ain't Sasha Banks. It ain't the same. It's not the same. She's just boring, bland. The promos are waste of time. The gimmicks are waste of time right now. I was super excited about her showing up, and it's been nothing since she got there. That being said, they're not going to strip her in what is official defense number one.
She's not. The Statlander's the champ, by the way.
Oh, I thought Moné was hanging.
No, she lost. She lost a while ago.
Tells you how locked in.
Here's what I think is going to happen. I think Mercedes Moné is going to like hurt her foot or something, and her muscle is going to take her place in the match. And I think Chris Statlander wins. That's what I'm going with. All right, Swerve Strickland versus Bobby Lashley. I've never really liked Bobby Lashley.
I don't know why.
Yeah, it's just something about him is just not real. And it has nothing to do with the physique. I think, is it mic work? What is it? There's just something about him that is never.
Can I give you what it is? I think, at least in the past, is I've turned around on Bobby Lashley. I'm actually a big fan now. I didn't really like him a long time ago. And I do think that the faction he was in WWE, Hurt Business, which is now Hurt Syndicate, I actually really like that. I'll tell you why. Because Bobby Lashley, when he walks and talks and just is Bobby Lashley, is terrifying. Bobby Lashley, when he grabs a mic, just sounds like a dude, right? Like, that's not the voice and the tone that should come out of that man. That man should grab a mic and sound like a terrifying James Earl Jones when he talks. And then he grabs a mic and he's just like another dude. He is to me, the epitome of, and this is great, putting him with MVP again. He needs a dude to do all the talking so he can come out and just slam people through the mat. He brought back the Devastator, which he hit the other night, and it was awesome. Just do that. Just be the guy who plants people through the ring and be Bobby Lashley. Okay. Bobby Lashley wins.
Okay.
I love Swerve, though.
I am going with Bobby Lashley, too, but I think Prince Nana is going to betray Swerve.
I will hate that to the core.
All right. The next match, which you care about the most, Jack Perry versus Daniel Garcia for the TNT Championship.
I want you to know, I'm a bigger Daniel Garcia guy than Jack Perry. All right. And to the point that I don't know anything about this feud.
I was being sarcastic. I know you don't
like Jack Perry. I know, but I need the people to know.
Okay.
I need the people to know. Jack Perry's not very good. He's not a good talker. He's an okay wrestler, but he was always better as Jungle Boy, not because Jungle Boy, because of Luchasaurus. There's nothing about him I like. I know nothing about this feud at all. I'm picking Daniel Garcia on principle. I don't know. I don't know anything about the buildup, the reasoning behind it. This is a principle pick for me.
All right. I'm going to go with Jack Perry. This is the one I feel the least about so far because the Young Bucks are gone now. So does the Elite still exist? I don't know. The other match that should be probably match of the night, Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher.
Match of the night. This thing might be in consideration for match of the year.
I love Kyle Fletcher's new look. I'm glad he shaved his head. I'm glad he did all that stuff because he did look too much like Will Ospreay.
Yeah, and I'm good with that. Like, I think it's a good way to separate the two. That being said, Will Ospreay is the hottest dude on the planet. Okay, that sounded weird. Will Ospreay is the most over wrestler on the planet right now. I think this is one where I probably would like Fletcher to win because it makes him feel more dangerous, but they're not going to have Ospreay eat nail to this.
Okay, I'm going to go with Ospreay too, but it wouldn't shock me if there's like no winner. If they're just,
that's fair.
It's just chaos.
Continuation.
Yeah. And finally, the last match before we get to break, Jon Moxley versus Orange Cassidy for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. You know, I'm okay with the Jon Moxley faction and all this stuff, but it's just the same thing over and again with a different name.
Let me tell you the truth here. I'm picking Moxley here. Now, it's very rare that in a situation...
friend of the show, Orange
friend, I was about to get there. It is very, very rare in a situation like this that I would want to pick against friend of the show, Orange Cassidy. Because we love OC. One of the nicest people we've ever met. Setting that show right there, he was spectacular on and off.
So cool. Very cool.
Super cool guy. Sat here after we were done with the interview and talked wrestling with us for like another 5-6 minutes.
Yeah.
Just on his own. Just before he left, right?
By the way, we got 2 segments with him because we normally
did.
Yeah.
And he was phenomenal. Great. I'm picking Mox for 2 reasons. Number one, I think it just makes sense for him to win. Number two, he's right. Everything that is happening in AEW right now is bad. And I mean, I'm not talking, this is that Punk, this is Phil Brooks talking to Paul Levesque, not CM Punk talking to, this is Rob Brown, the AEW fan, talking to AEW, not Rob Brown, the radio guy talking about AEW. I'm talking to you. What is happening with most of your wrestling is not good right now. I've turned cold. I'm not saying I'm out. I'm not out. I'm still here. But it's not good. To the point that Jon Moxley's storyline point, Lonzo, is correct in real life. That's how bad it is. You've got me rooting for the guy I'm supposed to hate. I don't like Wheeler Yuta. I think he's the most boring guy on the roster, to be honest. And I'm yet still pulling for you in this spot because it's more reflective of the reality of AEW. Back after this, talk a little football, a little what the X is going on the way out. It's the Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate.
All right, time for an extended What the X, since I won't be here next week, where I will ask Rob what is going on in the world.
You do have to come here tomorrow, still.
Okay, you're right.
I'm just making sure.
Dude, I told you. I'm just looking for
it. Is it Friday in your head right now?
Yeah, in my head it is, but okay. It's not.
It's definitely not.
Well, thank you for the
Sorry
help
for ruining there. The day. But.
Well, just a little bit. No, I guess I will be back tomorrow. So
I was like, wait, am I solo tomorrow?
So not the final one, as far as we know.
That's fair.
This week. So the first thing that's X in is Gary Busey.
Gary Busey. Now, that's a name I've not heard in a long time. Gary Busey turns 78 today.
All right. So this is not, and this would require you to look something up. Maybe even post it. I don't know.
Oh, yes. I'm in already.
Gary Busey is X-ing because of Boris Johnson.
Okay. I see it.
Have you seen the latest thing? Boris Johnson, he's like wearing some Russian t-shirt and his hair's like, and everyone says, he does.
He looks like Gary Busey?
He absolutely does.
He kind of always has, right?
But he's been fairly kempt.
I just saw it now. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he sent out a tweet with a picture of himself. So there's this whole thing about Boris Johnson, who apparently in real life is actually like a super genius, but he's always done this like unkempt, messy hair, goofy thing because he figured out that people don't connect to super intelligent people. It's hard, and for the record, it's hard to do. Trust me, I know. people don't connect to super intelligent people. They will connect to, well, the way Boris Johnson portrays himself to be more than the way Boris Johnson actually is. And that's why he's always gone with like the goofy hair, unflattering suit angle instead of taking care of himself like an adult.
All right. This next one, I'm going to preface with the fact that this is not political at all. Has nothing to do with politics at all. Elon Musk is X-ing.
First off, I don't think there's anything Elon Musk is doing right now that's not political.
Yeah, there is. Okay? Yeah, there is. Guaranteed.
Now.
Guaranteed.
He did launch another SpaceX rocket yesterday.
Nope.
That's not that?
You're going to say, Lonzo, you're absolutely right. All right. So he just beat Diablo 4 at 150 Paragon level in a minute and 52 seconds, and right now is the, if not one of the best Diablo 4 players in the world. And you can say, he live streams his
oh no, I know he
streams
all
the time, and he's a big Diablo 4 fan. So again, nothing to do with politics. The fact that that dude is a monster gamer, and it sucks. He's rich, he's powerful, and he's a better gamer than you are.
Do you think Donald Trump locks his bathroom door so Elon doesn't follow him in?
All right, again, see, separate the politics from the fact that this guy has a business, does all the things he's doing, but he still makes time to be this good of a gamer.
I think
that's, it goes back to the genius thing. Maybe his brain is always working, so he has to keep himself occupied, and maybe he just likes playing games. I mean,
I get it. Like, I can't wait till I get to a time where I own all of my time. You better believe I'm going to be a video game wizard. I'm just saying, you know, like, we're at a point where, like, I might have a couple of hours at night that I control my time.
That's because you have 37 jobs. That's all. I'm
not saying there's not a reason for it. Okay. I'm just saying I'm at a point where I own, if I'm lucky, I own, like, I can do whatever I want, like, 2 hours of my time, and happily and willfully married, so I give that time to my wife unless she's like, I'm going to bed, in which case, yeah, I'm playing Rocket League with the boys.
By the way, yesterday I just fell asleep for a nap and you texted me. I just wanted to bust you out on the air, and I immediately texted
you back.
I wonder
why your response was so short.
I texted you back, and I couldn't go back. It's like that nap. If you don't hit it,
oh, it's over.
Yeah, it's done. It's like, man,
I know that.
I was right there, and why didn't I turn my phone off?
The one time I actually text.
Yeah. Also, that's how you respond to text, by the way, immediately. All right, the next thing it's texting is snow, or Xing is snow.
Snow? Is it snowing?
It's snowing all over the place right now.
All right. Not,
I mean,
not
they're
here.
They're showing video. Good. Don't make that.
Oh, no,
I mean,
listen. I'm good with 2 days of snow a year. I'm good with that.
I'm good with snow never existing ever in the world. But
it's snowing in Disneyland Paris, in Belfast, Ireland. It's snowing in England. Oxford, yeah. England. It's snowing in, I just found a video of a snow leopard kitten. Aw, that's a positive way to end the show. Snowing in Amsterdam. Snowing in, nobody cares. Nobody cares about this.
Apparently, everyone cares. That's the reason why it's Xing right now.
James said, "Jon Snow, the rapper Snow."
By the way,
valid snows.
One last thing that's Xing: Pacheco.
Isaiah, I believe, makes his return this weekend. John Brooks, I believe, is going to play for the Carolina Panthers this weekend. We get a matchup.
We'll see who's the most impactful. Someday.
Yeah. Yeah, we will. All right, coming up on tomorrow's edition of the show, obviously our entire football breakdown for the weekend. We will look up and down the NFL and college football schedules. Rashad Beard will join us tomorrow at 8:40 to break down the Panthers and how John Brooks and Isaiah Pacheco will impact that game. That's all tomorrow. Y'all have a great day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. We'll see you back here tomorrow to do it all over again on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!